Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people into a growing relationship with God. Life Change. We're so grateful that you chose to listen to today's message. And in the future, we want to make this experience better for you by giving you the opportunity to watch videos as well. But to do that, we need your help. We need your help in raising funds for video equipment. So if you'd like to donate, please go to our website at www.mylifechangechurch.com and click the link to give online, and you can use the drop-down box for video equipment. Thanks so much for your support. And as always, we hope this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
So pumped because we are jumping into this new sermon series. It's a two-week series entitled The One. And I'm pumped really for two reasons. If you look at this series, I'm pumped, one, because this is leading up to, again, our one-year birthday party. So September 13th, we are going to be celebrating 1 year as a church. When I look back, I think, man, that is crazy. We've gone, like a year ago, we just planted this church. It seems like if you just close my eyes, and it was almost still just a dream. And what's crazy is the team that God's put here, the people, all of you who are making a difference in other people's lives. So it's incredible what God's doing and what God's done in this past year. And I think, really, he's only just begun. So I want to invite you to tell you just to start inviting and bringing people now for September 13th. Start having that conversation with people because it's going to be a blast. We're going to celebrate, and there's no better way to celebrate than with cake. And again, I just said that before, but I like cake, so we're going to celebrate with cake. And if you want to bring a cake so that everybody has plenty of cake, feel free to bake a cake so we can eat cake. Everybody get the fact that we're probably going to eat cake on our one-year birthday? Perfect. Good deal. Well, it's going to be a blast. So this is what this series is kind of leading up to that. And then second reason why I'm pumped for this series is because I think it really gets to the heart of who we are as a church. I believe it really shows why we exist as a church. Now, if you've been around here for any length of time, you've heard us say loving people to life change, or loving people to that growing relationship with God. And why we say that is because that's why we believe we exist. That's why we believe as humans, as individuals, why we exist as well. To love people to life change. It's what we're called to do. But if you think about that, though, it kind of obviously brings up the question, how do I do that? What does that mean? How can we love people to life change? How can we be a church that loves this community into a growing relationship with Jesus? How can we be a church that makes an impact in Newark, Heath, and Granville, and beyond? Truth is this. It starts with the One. We exist for the One. We exist to chase after the One, to seek out after the One, to accept, to love, to invest, and then invite the One. And what's cool is this. If you think about it, at one point or another, you were probably the One. I mean, if you think about it, how did you get here, right? How did you get to Life Change Church? Chances are, somebody probably showed you acceptance. Chances are, somebody probably showed you love. Somebody probably sought after you. They really looked to try to invest in you. And then they probably even invited you as well. And that somebody, it's not always me as the pastor, right? In fact, a lot of people I've known come in here, and I didn't know them beforehand at all because there was a connection with somebody else, because somebody was investing and inviting in them. You're here because somebody decided to leverage their relationship with you to develop your relationship with God. And if you break down loving people to life change, loving people through that growing relationship with Jesus, that's what it is. That's what it's all about. It's levering the relationship that you already have with somebody to develop their relationship with God. And that's what's amazing about it too is this, is that we all can do it. Like, we don't have to be a super spiritual warrior to take this on, right? We don't have to be a Bible school grad. We don't have to have our nose in the Bibles 24 hours a day, right? What we have to be is we have to be real, and we have to be willing to let God use the relationships that we already have. We have to be willing to start with the One. And if you remember last week, we finished up our Bible series, the story about the Bible, these failures to redemption, and we talked about Jonah, and we talked about how through Jonah's life, we learn that our plan for ourselves, God's plan for us, is not just for ourselves. And the experience that we have in Jesus is not just for us. We learn that, and then we're tagging on to that this week, talking about, you know what? Our experience with God is for the one. His perfect plan and his perfect design for our lives isn't just for us. We think about it, it's not just so that we can spend eternity with him someday. The truth is, that's an incredible benefit of it, but it's about who we can take with us. It's about how we can leverage those relationships that we have. It's about who we're pouring into, who we're showing love to, who we're showing acceptance to, who we're showing this mercy and grace to. Who are we investing in and then inviting to experience the same thing that we've experienced? God's purpose for us is all about the one. I think he's strategically placed people in our lives for us to chase after. And this can make a difference in our family. This can make a difference in our homes. This can make a difference in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our whole entire community. Our purpose is for the one. And to make an impact with many, it starts with the one. And it starts with us. Each and every one of us plugging into that person that God's placed into our lives. And these people are there in our lives that we can make a difference in. And the truth is that we have a certain way that we can speak into their lives because we can do that more so than anybody else can. You have somebody that you can speak into more than I could ever speak into. You have somebody that you can speak into their lives more than anybody else because of the relationship that you already have with them. That relationship that God's put in a plan, in a place for you. And what's incredible is this. This is how Jesus built the church. He focused on individuals and then challenged the individuals to do the same. This is how Jesus lived his life. This is how he did ministry. And we see this in the book of Mark. So we're going to jump into Mark today. And the book of Mark is known as one of the Gospels. And again, the Gospels are the account of Jesus' life from four different perspectives. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I like Mark because it's the shortest of the Gospels. And it's actually written by a guy named Mark who was an interpreter for Peter, who we know as one of Jesus' disciples. But Mark is the shortest of the Gospels, and it packs the most punch. It's very action-oriented. It moves along real quick, and it moves through the life and ministry of Jesus just real quick. Really what Mark does, it makes a long story short. So in Mark, though, it clearly shows that Jesus lived his life by focusing in on the one. And you see this specifically in Mark chapters 4 and 5. And today we're going to read Mark chapters 5, 1 through 21. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. If you have a Bible app, you can go there. And again, I'll challenge you to get the YouVersion Bible app. It's an incredible free app that you can put on a tablet, you can put on your phone, you can use it anywhere. There's different reading plans, there's different devotionals, there's different versions. It will even read to you. So I challenge you to get the YouVersion Bible app. If you have that right now and you want to plug into that, you can use our password at 12345678. That's our Wi-Fi password. It's hard to remember. But before we jump into Mark 5, let's quickly summarize what happens in Mark chapter 4 leading up to this story. Because really, I think Mark is describing how Jesus rolls, right? He's describing how Jesus kind of operates. Because in Mark chapter 4, here's Jesus. And what he's doing is he's preaching to this large crowd. He has all these people gathered around. They're waiting to hear the word of God, right? So here's Jesus. He's preaching to them. And he's using what's known as parables, which are stories used just to illustrate a point. But then after he speaks to this large crowd, what he does is he kind of scales it back down. And then he begins just to talk to his 12 disciples, his 12 closest followers, these 12 people that he kind of handpicked and intentionally went for and chased after. These were the 12 ones, right? So he talks to this big group of people. Then Jesus kind of brings it in, talks to the disciples, and explains this parable more in depth. And then he continues talking to his disciples and teaching them things. He's teaching them really to encourage them about using the gifts that they have. He's telling them to always operate out of faith. So he's talking to the large crowd. Then he talks just to his 12. And then what they decide to do is they decide to go in a boat and cross over the lake. So they get in this boat. They jump in there. And while they're crossing over this lake, this huge storm comes. And here are the disciples. They completely panic. Like, they completely freak out. They're worried as anything can be. Meanwhile, Jesus is like sleeping. He's resting, closing his eyes. He's taking a little bit of a breather, right? The disciples panic, wake him up. And then Jesus looks at him like, seriously, guys? Like, we just talked about having faith. Like, what are you doing, right? He looks at him. He's like, man, why do you not have no faith, right? He's like, we just talked about this. I think the Bible throws some funny stories in there. Sometimes they're a little bit ironic. I love them. I would challenge you to read your Bibles daily so you can see some of this stuff. There's some pretty good humor within the Bible. Sometimes it'll make you laugh. So challenge you to read it every day. But here's Jesus. He's going across this lake, and this whole story is leading up to what happens next. He left the huge crowd, crosses over the lake through this storm, and then it starts here in Mark chapter 5, verses 1. It says this. It says, Jesus and his followers went to the other side of the lake, to the area of the Gerasene people. When Jesus got out of the boat, instantly a man with an evil spirit came to him from the burial caves. This man lived in the caves, and no one could tie him up, not even with a chain. Many times people had used chains to tie the man's hands and feet, but he always broke them off. No one was strong enough to control him. Day and night, he would wander around the burial caves and on the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. While Jesus was still far away, the man saw him, ran to him, and fell down before him. Stop right there and kind of dig into this a little bit. Here's Jesus, right? He's leaving the crowd. He crosses over this lake to go to the area of the Gerasene people. Now, the Gerasene people, this area is in between two seas. It's between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Really, if you look at it, here's this area, the area of the Gerasene people. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's a collection of these 10 towns in the middle of nowhere. Now, since we live in Newark, Ohio, we are somewhat familiar with a collection of 10 towns in the middle of nowhere, right? Like, this is basically like rural Ohio, where a lot of places where times people forget about us. People forget about these people. This is where Jesus is going. It's a place where not really much is going on. And here's Jesus. And what's he do? He goes to this place for one person. And to top it off, the one person that he's going after is like the crazy man of all these 10 towns. Like, he's the complete lunatic. Like, this guy's living in burial caves, which is a cemetery. I don't know about you, but if you ever talk to somebody who lives in a cemetery, they're not right in the head. Like, this is who this guy is, right? Like, this is like the people of Walmart.com, put all those people together, times it by 100, and this is who this guy is, right? Like, this guy is like the unwanted. This guy's the unloved. He's the unaccepted. And on top of that, he's extremely dangerous. Like, chains can't even hold him down. And they tried to tie him up, but they couldn't, right? Nothing could control him. He's extremely dangerous, and he's even extremely destructive. He's like, he's cutting himself. And I think a lot of times this is who Jesus is chasing after, the ones who are destructive. Maybe we might not cut ourselves, but there's people out there who are doing things in their life that is destroying who they are. Jesus crosses a lake for the one. This is who Jesus crossed the lake for. This man was held captive by evil spirits. He was in bondage. It was keeping him from living a normal life. And this is the guy that Jesus went for. This is the guy that Jesus crossed over a lake in a storm for. This is the guy that Jesus left the crowd to go after. Here's Jesus. He was all comfortable, right? There's all these people around him. They're eating up everything he's saying. Like, he's got this nice little group. He's probably thinking, like, this is church, right? Let's all stay together and be happy. Let's do all this. But no, Jesus leaves that comfortable crowd and goes after and chases after the one. And then this man comes running to Jesus, and it continues here in verse 7. It says, the man shouted in a loud voice, what do you want with me? Jesus, Son of the Most High God, I command you in God's name not to torture me. He said this because Jesus was saying to him, you evil spirit, come out of the man. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he answered, my name is Legion, because we are many spirits. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of that area. So here's Jesus, and he's chasing after the one. What I like is this. Jesus is addressing the darkest part of that man's life. Jesus is speaking directly to those evil spirits. He's speaking directly to that thing that's controlling that man. And he says, identify yourself. So these evil spirits, these demons, they answer, my name is Legion, which legions means this. It means a multitude. It means a lot. So here's Jesus. He's chasing after the one, and this one has a lot of problems. This one has a lot of issues. This one has a lot of things that are completely wrong with him that nobody else wants to address, but Jesus is willing to address them, and he addresses them head on. And then the demons plead with Jesus. Verse 11 continues, and it says, a large herd of pigs was feeding on a hill near there. The demons begged Jesus to send us into the pigs. Let us go into them. So Jesus allowed them to do this. The evil spirits left the man and went into the pigs. Then the herd of pigs, about 2,000 of them, rushed down the hill into the lake and were drowned. So here's these demons, right? They're saying, don't torture us, Jesus. Don't destroy us. Send us into these pigs. Meanwhile, Jesus, classic Jesus here, outsmarts the room, says, I'll throw you into these pigs. Yeah, sure. And then I'll run the pigs right off the ground into the lake and destroy them. So Jesus still does that, right? He outsmarts these people like he always does. And then in verse 14, it continues. It says, the herdsmen ran away and went to the town and the countryside, telling everybody about this. So people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the man who used to have the evil spirit sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were frightened. The people who saw this told the others what had happened to the man who had demons living in him. And they told about the pigs. Then the people began to beg Jesus to leave the area. You read this and you're thinking like, dude, Jesus is a hero, right? Like, Jesus is the man. Thinking like, dude, he just did this incredible thing. He set this man free. But if you look at it, why did these people send Jesus on his way? Why did they kick him out? Why did they say, get out of this town, right? Jesus didn't really have an influence in their lives. Here's Jesus and what he did. If you look at it, really, Jesus really ticked off the herdsmen. Like, he just sent thousands of pigs. He sent 2,000 pigs to their death, right? Now, based on Jewish culture back then, I'm guessing that, like, a bacon cheeseburger wasn't top on their list. They didn't really eat pork, but I'm still thinking, like, dude, this is bacon that's going into a river. Somebody's going to be mad about this, especially the owners of the herds, right? So Jesus ticked off these herdsmen, so they're obviously thinking, like, dude, you just threw all my herds into a lake. I'm mad. Get out of here, right? So number one, I think we see this, is that Jesus was willing to upset others. He was willing to go to great lengths to reach the one. And then the number two thing, if we look at this, why they kicked Jesus out of this area. I think these people, again, Jesus didn't have the influence on them, but these people weren't willing to see this man change. They weren't really looking to that. I mean, like, if you think about it, here's this crazy man. I mean, he's tearing up chains. He's wandering around all late at night, right? And it says, it kind of alludes to the fact of this. It says he's sitting now clothed. We didn't talk about this earlier, but if he's sitting now clothed, that probably means he was naked beforehand. So they're probably thinking, like, dude, I'm not willing to accept this naked, crazy man quite yet. I want to see what really happens in his life. I want to see some of this influence that's going to happen. And just Jesus saying it isn't quite enough. They were frightened by his transformation. They were frightened because that experience with Jesus that this man had, it couldn't be explained. And the truth is this. Jesus needs to be experienced, not just explained. Jesus needs to be experienced, not just explained. And these people, they had not yet experienced Jesus. So what they did is they begged Jesus to leave. And what's interesting is from the perspective that Jesus didn't really have this much influence from people. Now again, he's the Son of God. He could have called down on all his power and said, here, I'm just going to use my power and I'm going to influence everybody real quickly. But what I think is incredible is that he did this. He takes this different approach. And you see this in verse 18. It says, as Jesus was getting back into the boat, the man who was freed from the demons begged to go with him. But Jesus would not let him go. He said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man left and began to tell the people in the 10 towns about what Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. Here's this guy who Jesus completely just healed, who had this complete transformational experience with Jesus. And Jesus isn't letting him go with him. What is he doing? He's telling this guy to use your influence in those 10 towns. Use that experience and invite others to experience the same thing. Jesus chases after the one, and then he releases the one to impact others. Here's what I think we can get from today. If you get nothing else, pay attention to this one thing. To make an impact with many, it starts with the one. To make an impact with many, it starts with the one. I love the ending of that story right there. It says, so the man left and began to tell the people in the 10 towns about what Jesus had done for them, and everyone was amazed. Here's this man. He goes to these 10 towns, these kind of off-the-beaten-path towns. These things where not too much is going on, where nobody's really chasing after. This man goes to those 10 towns and makes a difference because Jesus was willing to cross the lake for the one. This is what Jesus shows throughout his life and throughout his ministry. Here's this guy completely transformed, and Jesus didn't take him with him. And again, why? It's because this man had an experience with Jesus that he needed to share. And Jesus challenges him to go use that experience to change others, to change the world, to impact the one. To make an impact with many, it starts with the one that you have a relationship with already, the one that you can connect with in a certain way, the one that you can share your experiences. And I love what Jesus commands us. He says, tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. Go tell them about the mercy of God. And this man does it again, does exactly what Jesus says, and it changes those 10 towns. He made an impact in that whole area. I love this story because here we see Jesus, who we look at and think, like, Jesus was just so incredible, and he was. But we think, like, he changed the whole entire world. We think he just did it like that, right? But the truth is, he did it by investing in one person at a time. He was leaving the crowd to go to the one. He's investing in one person, and then from there, he's challenging that one person to do the exact same thing. And if you look at it, this is how the church was built. This is the principle the whole church was built on. It was the principle of investing in people and then inviting them to experience Jesus. Investing and inviting, that's it. I think it's so easy to get over that we get overwhelmed with this call that we're supposed to share our faith, with this call that we're supposed to share Jesus. It's so easy to get overwhelmed with it because I think we think, man, we have to bring somebody to that point of faith. We have to have somebody say the sinner's prayer right in front of us or else we completely fail. Or we think, man, we have to travel overseas to these groups of people who nobody reaches. Or we think we have to have this perfect past or the perfect lineage, like we have to have our parents have to have the right name so that we can kind of just flow and ride their coattails, right? We think we have to have all these things in place. Then we think we even have to have the perfect personality or the greatest testimony, right? Like, man, our life had to be completely changed because that's what people want to see. They want to see whatever it is. We think we have to do that, and we think we have to reach the masses because we think that to have this impact, it has to reach hundreds, thousands, millions of people. So what do? Oftentimes, we do nothing because that's our thought process. But the truth is, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. And Jesus knew this. Jesus understood this, so he challenges us to focus in on the one. And imagine if we did this with our lives. Imagine if we did this with our lives instead of trying to fit in with the crowds, instead of trying to please everyone in the group to make them happy, instead of just trying to get by, what if we went and we met the needs of those that God's placed in our lives? What if instead of hiding the fact that we were once a mess before we met Jesus, or maybe even the fact that there's still parts of our life that we are a mess in and God's still working on, what if instead of hiding that, we use that to help others? We use that to help others walk in their struggles. We use that to help others break the same bondage that we may have felt in our lives. We use that to help people stop those destructive habits that they may have, right? What if we shared what Jesus is doing and done in our lives? See, I think it's easy for us to be ashamed of what Satan accomplished in our lives, that oftentimes we forget what God has overcome. And the truth is that God worked in you so that he can work through you. And you're not alone in the struggle. And the people going through that struggle with you, they're not alone as well. God's called us to reach after the one, to walk through life and do life together. Imagine if we let him do this. Imagine the freedom that we could walk in because we'd be walking in the victory that he has already won for us. Again, Jesus was sent down to earth to live a perfect life because God knew that we couldn't live a perfect life. Then Jesus died on a cross to pay a penalty for our sins so that we could live with him because he was risen again so that we could have that new life in him. He did this for me. He did this for you. And he did this for the one that we may even think is hopeless. But he's calling us to share our experience with him. He's calling us to invite others to that same experience. And when we do this, it changes things. It changes other people. It impacts our lives, but it impacts others' lives as well. And it will impact the church. This is how Jesus built the church, and it's how he expects us to continue to do so. To make an impact with many, it starts with the one. So let's look at how we put this into action. Let's look at how we can really apply this to our life. I think it goes back to what Jesus did too. One is this, he was intentional. Jesus intentionally left the crowd. He intentionally left the crowd to cross over the lake. He left the comfort of all those people, right? He left the comfort of having the support, and he intentionally crossed the lake to reach the one guy that everybody thought wasn't worth reaching. Jesus was incredibly intentional about this. He could have easily said, look how nice this is. Look at all my followers. Look how great this is. Look how many people. Man, I'm changing this area right here. But what he does is he leaves and he goes and seeks after the one. I think in our lives, we need to be intentional. For us, that might be stepping outside the comfort zone and joining our church life with our outside life. You're like, what? How could I do that? It'd be so scary to mix them, right? If we're going to be honest with ourselves, we probably do. We probably have church friends, and then we probably have outside church friends, right? And for some of us, we think, man, we can't mix them because, you know, maybe my unchurched friends, they don't talk the same way. They don't dress the same way. Or in all honesty, it's probably we're thinking, man, maybe my church friends, they don't talk the same way. They don't dress the same way. They wouldn't fit in, right? Maybe for us to be intentional is mixing those two crowds together. And a side note, too, this is really where we want the church to be. Like, if I look out here and everybody's living a perfect life, the chances are you're probably lying about it. We want a place where people feel real, where we can walk through struggles together, where we can walk through this thing called life together, where somebody comes in, man, they're a mess, but they feel at home because they feel the love of God, and they can feel like they're walking through that mess and getting better and better every single day. That's what we want as a church. But we have to be intentional. Maybe for some of you, you look out there and you think, man, I don't really have any outside church friends. Like, all my friends are church people. Well, to you, that may mean kind of walking across that lake, making new friends, taking that step into that storm that could be a little bit scary to make friends with those unchurched people. But we have to be intentional about it. Number two thing is this, and we see Jesus kind of demonstrate for us, is that having faith through the storm. And now when I say having faith, you're like, dude, typical preacher thing to say, right? You just say, have faith. It's an easy thing to do, right? But if Jesus examples it for us, why don't we actually jump and try to do it? Now, having faith can look different for each and every one of us. But the truth is, we're all going to face a storm. We can either be like the disciples and we can completely freak out and panic, right, and just call it a day, like, no, what are we going to do? Or we can have faith like Jesus was. If you look at Jesus, he was obviously prayed up. He even talked to the waves and to the storm and said, calm down. It wasn't like he was going across the lake on a whim. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was praying for this one already. And we need to do the same. We need to be praying for those people in our lives. We need to be praying for opportunities for people to come on our lives. And we need to pray for the courage and the strength to walk through that storm when reaching them. We need to have faith that God can use us and that he will get us through the storms. And number three thing is we need to invest in the one. We need to invest. What I find interesting is this, that sure, this man came running to Jesus when he came on shore, but Jesus wasn't waiting for the man to cross the lake. Jesus wasn't waiting for the man to go through the storm himself. Jesus was willing to put himself at risk. He was willing to invest in this guy by taking his crew across the lake. And the other thing too, Jesus didn't come and say, here, go follow me because I'm incredible, right? No, Jesus saved this man from those demons. He cast out those demons. He cast out those struggles in this man's life. We need to be investing in others. Jesus invested in this man. Think about it. Are we investing in others? Are we meeting them where they are at? Are we trying to see what their needs are? Are we trying to help them in that? I think it starts with meeting others where they're at. It starts with investing others. Are you investing in others? And when you invest, and only when you invest, then can we invite. then we need to invite. Invite the one to experience Jesus. If you look at that man, clearly he had this experience with Jesus. He truly experienced the power of God. He truly experienced the mercy of God through Jesus. And our goal for these church services is this. It's for you to experience God. It's for you to experience the power of God. It's for you to experience the mercy of God. For you to experience the truth of God. For you to experience the grace of God. That's what a church service is designed for. But it's not just inside these doors, because the goal is for you to take that out and to share that with others. For you to share that experience with others. Invite them to experience Jesus. Then challenge them to invest and invite others. Sam, if you want to, you can come up. Here's what Jesus did, right? He did all these things. Then he challenged the man to go share that experience with others. He challenged the man to go do the exact same thing with others. Because we are all part of his plan. We all get to play a role. This is why we exist, to love people to life change, to love people into that growing relationship with God. But to make an impact with many, it starts with the one. So let me ask you, where are you at today? How can you take that next step? Maybe you're at a day, today you're at a place where you just need to be intentional. You need to cross over. You need to talk to your friends who are maybe unchurched friends, or maybe you need to make friends that are unchurched. But you need to be intentional about that. Or maybe you're today, you're at a place where you're in a storm, where things seem kind of like, maybe it's a little bit messy. But you just need to trust in God and have faith to move through that. Or maybe you're at a place where you need to invest in others. Give a quick plug for next week. We're going to talk a little bit about this and kind of tag team on this, and then we're going to get something super practical and super just really that you can apply to your life. We want to help you to walk God's plan in your life together. So next week, I would say it's going to be an incredible time. It'll be a little bit different because it'll be so practical, and it will give you some actual resources and tools to do this. But maybe that's where you are. You need to invest in others. Maybe you need to invite others as well. Maybe you're at a place where you have an experience with Jesus that you just need to share with others and invite somebody to experience that as well. Or as I close, maybe you're at a place where you just, maybe you're here and you need to experience Jesus. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe when I'm talking about the one that Jesus crossed the lake for, the one that's messed up, that has a past, the one that's struggling with all these different things, maybe that's you. Maybe you feel all alone. Maybe you feel like, really, you feel like you're unwanted. But God's telling you today, he's saying, experience me. If that's you, what we're going to do is we're going to end. I always want to end by giving you an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus, to have that experience with Jesus. So I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, if you're here today and you want to start a relationship with Jesus, I just want to pray with you at your seat. Nobody's going to be looking around. I just want you to raise your hand. I'll see your hand, and I'll pray with you at your seat. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you did, but you've walked away and God is calling you back to that today so that you can experience him, I want to count to three, then I want to pray with you. One, with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed. Two, God is asking you to experience him in a real way. Three, raise your hand. Let's all pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son to die on a cross for me, to forgive me of my sins, so that I can experience you, and help me share that with others. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you were here today and you were listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com, and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.